Good evening. Thank you all for being here this evening. We're delighted to have you, see you with us and join us in our worship to God. I want to take a moment and thank those of you who came Thursday evening to Willow Springs when I was in their meeting there. It was a great encouragement to see you there, for you to come out. I don't know if this is what you meant, but I did take it as you weren't sick of hearing me too much. So I took it that way, whether you meant it that way or not. But I do thank you, and I thank you for the encouragement which you have given me. This evening we're going to look at a story that I would dare say most of all of us know and have heard. And that story is Daniel in the lion's den. And it shows to me that every time I read something, I can get something different out of it, or I see something different out of it that I hadn't seen before. And such is the case with this story. And as I read this evening, you might find another idea that I'm not pointing out to you. And you might see something else you can grasp from it and take with you. And I hope that's the case. Because I by no means am going to cover all the points that could be made from this story. But we're going to just simply read Daniel chapter 6 and get some thoughts from this and go from that. And I hope we'll be able to make application to it in our lives today. So in Daniel chapter 5, at the end of it, Darius is now, we've had the handwriting on the wall, and Darius is now on the throne and has taken over the throne and is reigning over the land. And as we begin verse 1, we see that he is trying to make this land prosperous. And so he kind of is starting to divide the kingdom up into kind of different parts and districts of which he will have rulers over. And verse 1 goes, it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. And the satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. And at this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel and his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him, because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. You know, this is kind of common day politics, it's getting more and more as we get closer to November, of one candidate's going to find the skeletons in the closet of the other candidate, and they're going to both do that, and they're both going to try to find something on the other one to say that they're a terrible person. And while at times with certain candidates the list can be long, but they were going out to find Daniel and finding out that Darius had this idea to put him over the whole realm of the whole kingdom, that he would be over everyone. And they did not want to answer to this little slave at one time from Judea that, man, who wants to listen to him? We don't want to have him over us, have him in charge of us. So what can we find on Daniel? As some versions say, this Daniel. What can we find on him that we could throw him out, that Darius would look down on him, that he would look badly upon Daniel, and so that Darius will give us the throne, will give us the keys to the kingdom, so to speak. But as they looked and as they tried, if you will notice, it says they couldn't find anything on him. They found no corruption in him. Why? Because he was trustworthy. He was neither corrupt, nor was he negligent in the affairs. Does this sound familiar to us? Does this sound familiar? Do you think about maybe another story of which they tried to find something on him and they couldn't find anything? I think about Jesus being brought toward Pilate. When Jesus was brought to Pilate, he says, "What is truth?" in John chapter 18, verse 38. And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all. I can't find anything that he's guilty of. I can't find any wrongdoing that he's done." And such was the case that the satraps and the other administrators of the kingdom had with Daniel. One point I want us to kind of get at this point is, how are you living your life as to others to find you blameless? When people look at you, how easy is it for them to find something to get on you, some dirt to get on you? Are you living your life in a way that you can be seen as trustworthy, in a way that can be seen as not corrupt, one whom people can depend on and is not negligent of the affairs that you are given? The responsibilities that you've been bestowed with, how do you handle them? Do you handle them diligently, not neglecting what's there? Are you like Daniel in the fact that people look at you and they go, I don't have anything. That's just a good guy or a good woman. It's a good person, a good trustworthy individual. In verse 5, continuing on, finally these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it is something to do with the law of his God. And so these administrators and these satraps went as a group before the king and said, may King Darius live forever. The royal administrators and prefects and satraps and advisors and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. So they come, building up, puffing up King Darius. Puffing him up, making him feel proud of himself. And this was a common thing to do. Not only just to build up the king, but this idea of unifying all of the nations. Think about it, they had the Medes, they had the Persians, they had the Hebrew people, they had all these different groups that were inside this kingdom. And if we can unite these people to one cause, and that would be worshiping you, King Darius, how prosperous will our nation be? How great will our nation be now that we all stand united for these next 30 days? How great could we become just over these next 30 days? Let's make a decree that says, if anyone doesn't worship you, be thrown into the lion's den. Well, King Darius thought that was a pretty good idea. But do you see the lie of which all of these administrators and satraps gave to Darius? Do you see the lie? Do you see the lie that they give him? What about verse 7? The administrators, the prefects, the satraps, the advisors and governors all agree. Well, see, Darius, we've all got together and we had a little meeting over to the side and we all met and we decided this would be the best thing to do. Did you see that word all? It's inclusive, isn't it? Daniel was a governor over an area. Most certainly Daniel had no part in this meeting. But that's what they gave Darius. They said, we all got together and we all agree this would be the best thing for us to do. Darius said, oh yeah, that sounds good to me. Let's go out. Let's do it. See, Satan is so cunning in what he does, he can very easily slip something in past us, can't he? Something so small. Something so finite that we said, that just we don't even notice. And we go with it. And certainly if Daniel had so much respect from Darius, if they would have came and said, we all got together and Daniel was out, but we all got together and we all thought this would be a good idea. Well, Darius would have said, well, let's wait and see what Daniel thinks. Most certainly, because Daniel was being thought given to him to be over the whole realm. He was highly respected, highly trusted. And for Daniel to be left out certainly would not happen if Darius was not puffed up in his own ego, kind of, sort of. Thinking that everybody had all gotten together. Everyone had agreed that this would be a good idea. How slick is the devil? Just so slick to slide something in. Maybe that really in and of itself isn't that big of a deal, but what it leads to is a great deal. The second thing kind of from this little part I get is the law which was given, the decree that was made. If this decree was made today, would you obey it? Well, we all say, no, certainly not. I would not obey that. I would be just like Daniel. I'd keep on praying. I want you to think about what Daniel had done. Every day, three times a day, what did Daniel do? He prayed. So if this law was to be given and you were to go in your life, would your life really change? Would your life really change? Do you pray like Daniel prayed, as to say, this law being made is a big deal to me? Or would, by the way you live your life and by the way you pray today, you'd go, I could follow that law because I'm already kind of doing that. Because that's already kind of how I live. I don't pray to anybody. I don't have any type of prayer. Would it be that big of a deal to you? It should be. It should be a great deal to you. That it would interrupt your life and go, this is something, this is a law of man that I'm about to have to break. Or by the way you live your life today, is it something that wouldn't really make any difference? Because you don't pray. We most definitely would say no. But we ought to be living our life as a way that not only would we say no, but we would not obey the law. You can get tongue tangled real quick in there. That you would not obey the law of Darius. That you could be like Paul when he told the brethren at Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. That we would always pray, continually praying. Praying not only for those around us, praying for ourselves, as Daniel would most definitely be doing. Father, help me lead in this capacity which I'm in. Help me to rule in a way that would be pleasing to you. Praying for Darius, praying for the other leaders, praying for those whom he had ruled over. But for us to pray without ceasing. Daniel chapter 6 verse 8, continuing on, says, now your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered. In accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed, so King Darius put the decree in writing. And now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So when they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree, did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except to you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den? And the king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. They came to him saying, oh, king, did you not make this law? He said, well, most certainly I made this law. That was a good law. That was a law that I made. Look at what I did. I made this law, and that's the law that everybody should obey. And they said, Daniel, who was one of the exiles from Judah, he pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. In verse 14, when the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. That puffed up king thought, uh-oh, what have I done? Can you see the change in his language? It's almost like when Nathan came to David, isn't it? And David said, well, who is this man? He shall certainly be put to death. He's got all those sheep and he took that poor man's sheep. He needs to be put to death. I'll fix this up. Nathan goes, you're the man. And he goes, oh, okay. Darius goes, what have I done? What have I done? I have made this law. I have written this law. It cannot be repealed. It cannot be destroyed. It cannot be changed. What can I do? And he could do nothing. He had great regret. Now, we often have the same feelings that Darius had when we get fooled by the deceiver. That we go, what did I do? What have I done? I messed up. We feel destroyed by that guilt that we've truly been overtaken by Satan. Darius is trying every way possible, all the way until the sun goes down, to save Daniel. With all of that guilt that he feels laid upon him because of the law that he made, which he feels like I had no business making. So verse 15 says, Then the man went as a group to King Darius and said to him, Remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed. And so the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. And the king said to Daniel, May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. And so a stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating, without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. Old King Darius was weary. He was so weary that night because he felt betraying not only his dearest and closest advisor, Daniel, but I believe at this point, King Darius is starting to figure out that I feel like I have betrayed God. That I've not only betrayed Daniel, but I've betrayed Daniel's God. And we say that by his statement of, the God whom you serve continually, Daniel, may he rescue you. May he lift you up out of this lion's den. He mentions Daniel's God that he might save him. And we see him here when he goes back to the palace. He doesn't want anything to eat. He don't want anything to drink. Don't bring the jesters to me. Don't bring the musicians out. Don't bring anything out. Darius was just plagued with the sin that he had committed, with this wrong that he had done, that he could not sleep. And you might be here this evening and you've been plagued by sin that you have that you cannot sleep. You get that, nothing's wrong with me. Leave me alone. I don't want anything to eat. I don't want anything to drink. I just leave me alone. Don't want to watch TV. Don't want to get on the computer, on my phone. I want to go to sleep, but I can't. Yeah, that's a terrible feeling, isn't it? Yeah, I don't want anybody to bother me. I just want to sit. And old Darius was just sitting there thinking about what he had done and how he felt so terrible about it. It weighed heavy on his heart. And we too have been there. And we too have felt so much sorrow for the actions that we have committed that it seemed like we were hopeless. Much to the contrary of Brother Robert's lesson this morning. Hopeless, helpless. Nothing could be done for us. Well, in verse 19, at the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. And when he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice and said, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? And Daniel answered, May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions, and they have not hurt me. Because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty. It was Daniel's faith that had saved him. And it is Daniel's faith, which was mentioned in what I would call the chapter of faith in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions. He said, we know what saves us. We know what is there, what it's required for us to be saved. And it's the same thing that did all of these things, that subdued those kingdoms, attained those promises, worked those righteous things. The same thing that saved Daniel in that lion's den and shut those mouths of those lions as faith. It's a faithful God in whom we gratefully serve. And we serve Him through faith and entrust to Him. So shall by our faith that God will shut the mouths of our adversaries, of our greatest fears. He can shut those up that they may not harm us. they won't hurt us, that they won't destroy us, because He is a mighty God who has power over everything, and who faithfully, and whom we faithfully serve. In verse 23, the king was overjoyed, and he gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. And at the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all of their bones. You know, there's a sense of great revenge or of vengeance for Daniel. Not that Daniel did it, but it was done on Daniel's behalf. That those who were responsible for Daniel to be thrown into the lion's den were then killed. There's something that I noticed in here that kind of struck me the wrong way. It says it in verse 24. The men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought, thrown into the den. You see who else was thrown in there? The wives and their children. What did the wives and the children do to make this decree happen? Most likely, I would say probably nothing. They didn't go into the king's palace and say, "Oh, king, live forever. Make this law, make this decree that you're so great." They weren't, I don't believe, in the corner telling their husbands to go and get the king to sign this into law. But see, such is the way with sin. So many times that it not only affects the individual who does the wrong, but it affects all of them who are around them. So if you were here and you've done some great wrong, who else is your sin affected? So, well, I know it's affected me. I can see it. I live it every day. But what about those around you that it affected? Those that it affected unintentionally. These men, by no means, I believe, had any sore thought toward their wives or toward their children. They had no point in their lives that they think, well, this might hurt my wife, might hurt my kids. So many times, we sin. It breaks down not only ourselves, it breaks down our spouse, breaks down our children, breaks down our closest friends. It breaks down our parents. It breaks down our children. So how much thought should we give into what we do with how we serve the Lord? How much thought should we give to when we go before God Almighty? The way that we approach Him. The way that we serve Him. That not only ourselves worship Him in a glorifying way, serve Him with Him receiving the glory, but that our spouse, that our children could also see that and not be destroyed by our wrongdoing. Daniel's vengeance was made by King Darius. It's much like what is mentioned in Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." God sees evil, and He's going to give evil its reward. God sees righteousness, and He's going to give righteousness its reward. There was no reason for Daniel to have any ill thoughts toward those men. I wonder what he thought about while he was in the lion's den. I wonder if he was playing fetch with the lion. I wonder if he got anything to eat. If he was eating their scraps. I wonder about if he thought about, boy, how funny would it be to be down here with them guys and watch those lions eat them with me down here just laughing. Or I wonder if Daniel just continually prayed to God and saying, "Thank you." I think Daniel was more grateful to God than he was thinking about anything else. About trying to get those guys back. Because Daniel, to me, I believe that Daniel is one who said God's plan always works out. God wanted this decree made. God allowed this decree to be made. God allowed me to be thrown into the lion's den. And God will redeem me from this lion's den. And so whatever lion's den that you're in, whether it's because you did something yourself to get you in it, or whether someone did something to you and you ended up in the lion's den, we can go to God. And we can go to God in faith, knowing that He will redeem us, that He will lift us up, that He will repay evil for evil and good for good. And we can't control others, but we can control ourselves and what we do, and trying to serve God in a glorifying way, and walking in the light, as Christ is in the light, and Him continually forgiving us. And so when this is done in verse 25, and King Darius wrote to all the nations and peoples of every language and all the earth and said, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For He is the living God and He endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and He saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." Verse 28, "So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian." So why was Daniel so prosperous in the kingdom? I believe it's because Daniel, first and foremost, had pledged his allegiance to God, and to serving God Almighty, serving the monarch of monarchs, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, and serving Him first. And God blessed Daniel for it. Daniel was able to stand up and serve God the way that God commanded to be served. And say, we shouldn't be worried about how others view us spiritually, or what they may say about us, or what they may do about us. But we should have the conviction, and we should have the courage that Daniel had to stand up and serve God. Now, it amazes me how many times in my life that I didn't really feel like standing up, but finally something in me struck me where I had the courage to stand up and say, "No, that's not right. You shouldn't do that." Or maybe perhaps I have a problem with you doing that. I serve God. Yes, I go to church. And when that statement is made, how many other people will stand up and agree with you? And go, "Well, I was thinking the same thing. I was just too chicken to say it." Daniel stood up. Daniel stood up, and he didn't care whether if anybody stood with him or not. Because he knew what he was standing for was standing for God. And we may feel weak at times, but we must have the courage to stand like Daniel. To stand up. And then King Darius also made the decree that Daniel's God was the Almighty God. Now, we haven't talked much about becoming a Christian, but we've talked about serving the Lord. If you're here this evening and you haven't been serving the God the way that you know that He wants to be served, you haven't been giving Him the glory that He's told us to give Him, then we haven't been doing right. We haven't been doing what He wants us to do. And when we disobey God, we sin. And that sin separates us from God. And there's no reason to leave here this evening in that separated state. And you have a way to become reunited, if you will, or united, as the case may be, with God Almighty. And you can do that, and if we need to assist you in any way, please come as we stand as we sing.